Matthew chapter 1. We've been looking at this account of the birth of Jesus for a few weeks now, and I wanted to just go back here again today and share just a few thoughts with us, but I believe from the word of the Lord. Verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." To celebrate the birth of the Christ child, we have a lot of great traditions today, don't we? We have a lot of fun and festive things that we do, from singing carols to giving gifts to one another, to turkey and dressing and all the trimmings on this big, beautiful table that we set, to homemade candy that we make, to parades, to Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus showing up everywhere. They'll be here next Sunday right after service in the lobby. But we have to remember that this beautiful story of Christmas, it was not quite as beautiful in its real time as it is today, looking back. Today we have the advantage of history and distance, and we have the great advantage of being able to look in the rearview mirror at this miraculous event that we celebrate. The original event, though, was not surrounded with all the pageantry that we enjoy today, and all the fine foods and the red and green wrapping paper and the beautifully decorated trees. No, the first Christmas was nothing like that at all. The first Christmas was not filled with all the praise and the joy and the wonder that we all feel right now in this moment, especially in the lives of the people who were affected most by that first Christmas, the birth of Jesus. You would have thought that there would have been great joy in their lives, but you would have thought wrong, because the reality is, hear this, with many of the gifts that God gives us, we have joy in retrospect. The joy comes when we begin to look at it in the rear view mirror. We have joy when we look back and we're able to say at that moment, "Oh, I see now, God's plan was very different than my plan." But when we're in the middle of it, when we're in the unfolding of it, we have to remind ourselves that some of the gifts that God gives us in the moment does not necessarily bring about joy. We don't necessarily experience joy in the moment. They don't always set us up for praise and splendor in the moment. Sometimes God's gifts, hear what I say here and understand that sometimes God's gifts bring chaos in our lives. I didn't say the gift was chaos. I didn't say the gift itself and what God gives is chaotic or confusing. I said it will bring chaos. Sometimes a gift from God can even make us wonder, is this even a gift from God at all, or is this an attack from the enemy? But we all know that God himself, he does not breed confusion or chaos in our lives. But when he's doing something, many times he's always doing something new in our lives. He's doing something miraculous in our lives. And in most cases, whatever that is that he's doing that is outside the box, that thing that is new, that thing that is miraculous, many times it will go against everything that is in us. It'll go against all of our own selfish desires. It will go against all of our own little places of comfort. It will go against those things, that false sense of security that we have in our natural life. It'll go against all of those things. And so then therein lies the chaos and the confusion, because God is not the author of confusion. Joseph, he should have been excited about the birth of Jesus. He should have been elated about the fact that it was his soon-to-be wife. It was going to be his house that God had trusted with the birth of this greatest gift to mankind. But sometimes being chosen and selected by God will leave us in disarray. Sometimes it will. We all think that a gift from God is just going to have us all in this euphoric feeling in moment. We all think that a gift from God is just going to make us happy in the moment. However, the first glimpse we get of Joseph, he's not happy at all. He's not happy at all with opening up this gift. He's not doing it with great joy. Our first glimpse at him receiving this gift from God, he's filled with worry. He's very upset in this moment. There's chaos in this life because of the gift. It's how it's wrapped. Often when God gives us a gift, it worries us before it blesses us. At first, when we see Joseph in the scripture, he's not trying to figure a way to get closer to this pregnant Mary. He's trying to figure out a way to put her aside. He's trying to figure out a way. He's trying to figure out an escape plan, if you will. The first reaction we see from him is, how am I going to get out of this? He's looking for the exit. He's looking for the door. How can we do this and come out as unscathed as we possibly can? After all, we don't know what's in a gift until we open it. We don't know what's in the gift until we open it. Ultimately, it's not the gift that we need to be warned about today. It's the packaging that it comes in. How many of you growing up, you had that, they had all the gifts under the tree, and if your parents were like mine, they would usually a few days ahead of Christmas, maybe a week or so, they would let us pick out one gift to unwrap. And you would look at all the gifts, and you were trying to figure out which one would be the best one to open. And of course, naturally, as a child, we're looking at the big one, right? The big box. The bigger it is, the better it is, right? I mean, that's got to be the best one. So immediately, we go for the eye candy. We go for the big one. We open it, and it's really, you may be thankful for it and you may like it, but it ends up being sort of the least of all the gifts because we cannot trust the packaging. We don't know what's in it until we get it open. Some of us in this room could be holding God's greatest gift, but it's wrapped in something that we don't like. It's packaged in something that doesn't feel good or look good to us. Something that doesn't make us feel good in the moment, something that's messing with our mind a little bit, and we're saying, I don't know if God actually gave me this or not. Joseph is questioning if this is really a gift from God, because God's greatest gifts are often wrapped in packaging that's filled with problems and anxieties and worries and fear. These gifts often come to us camouflaged in what seems to us, in our natural viewpoint, in our natural perspective, it comes to us and from our perspective as something that's hopeless or maybe impossible or even perilous circumstances. Great gifts can come wrapped in all kinds of really odd things. Some gifts come in the form of a pink slip and getting fired from the job. We don't feel so gifted on that day until all of a sudden that new spot opens up in that new position that was the greatest job you could have ever imagined, and it fit you perfectly, but you would have never walked into that door had this one not been closed, because you were never going to walk out of that job. And so now all of a sudden that thing that created so much fear and anxiety and worry in your heart and mind was the greatest gift from God to take you to the next place in your life. My main point today is simply this. We can't be bothered by the packaging. We can't be worried about the packaging. Some of us had a gift in the form of someone that we thought we couldn't live without in our lives walking out on us, and you didn't know you were going to be able to survive, but here you are today. And now you look back and you say, what a gift. God can give us a gift, and we don't feel gifted at all. The first thing the angel said to Joseph that worried him was this: do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. These words are very comforting to us today when we read it in scriptures. Fear not, do not be afraid. But the angel told this to Joseph, and by the fact that the angel was telling this to Joseph meant that he was about to face something in his life that was going to cause him to be afraid. If the Lord tells you fear not, guess what? Something's coming that's going to cause you to fear. That's comforting again in retrospect, but remember in the moment, fear is a terrible, terrible thing. We all know this. It's debilitating. It is paralyzing. It will cripple us. Fear will make us give up on something that God is going to use to bless us. Fear will make us try to put something away, just as it was with Joseph trying to put away and try to put away the redemption of God's that God was trying to provide for his people. Joseph was trying to set aside the gift that God had sent to be raised in his house. We have to be very careful that we don't allow fear to rob us of God's greatest gifts in our lives. I think one of Joseph's biggest fears was the fear of perception. The fear of perception. I wonder how many of us in this room, no show of hands today, but I wonder how many of us in this room deal with that same fear. What is everyone going to think? What's this going to make me look like? Many times God will give us a gift that causes us to become controversial. The gift God gave Joseph put him and Mary right in the middle of the town rumor mill. It was a controversial gift, but it came from God. It was the greatest gift, and it came from God. We've got our lives all wrapped up in these perfect little packages, all beautifully decorated boxes, don't we? And that's how we want to present ourselves to the world. It's all about perception, the fear of how am I going to be perceived? What is this going to make me look like to other people? If we're all being honest, we're controlled and ruled by that to some degree. Even the people that say, I don't care what anybody thinks, I am who I am. That's even a hard shell that they put up to say that I really do care what everybody thinks. I want to do everything I can to overcompensate and make you think I don't care. It's all about perception, our perfect little world. Putting out there and portraying our perfect little world. How many ladies, but I've come to learn. We've got some pretty sissy men in the house too. How many of you love Hallmark movies? I got one sissy man in the back, Kevin Montgomery. Thank you very much. Part of our security team today, wow. You're all safe, but you know the movie. I mean, I don't know why Hallmark doesn't hire some new writers. They have the same writers that's been writing the same movies for a long time because it's the exact same story. Big city girl has been on a business trip, making her way back to the big city. A blizzard happens, and it just so happens that it happens. She gets stalled in this perfect little New England town with a bunch of perfect little people, and she just happens to get stalled right in front of the house of the most perfect family in the perfect little New England town, and they invite her in for warm cocoa and a meal, and now she's got to stay with them. Oh, and by the way, there's this perfect eligible bachelor who lives in this perfect little New England town. He's middle-aged, but he's never been married before. He's the perfect guy. All he does every day, free of charge, is go around and do handyman work for all the little old ladies in town. But he's eligible. He's the most eligible bachelor. He just happens by on that night, and they invite him in for supper. Sparks begin to fly. Big city girl is falling in love with perfect eligible bachelor in small town New England. And then all of a sudden, they're sparking, and they're loving each other. Only she's not been completely honest with him because there's a big city boyfriend. He's getting a little concerned about her, and he shows up on the doorstep all of a sudden. And now we've reached the peak of the movie. Now the plot has thickened. Now there is a rift. Now there is a problem. Love is now lost. You lied to me. I trusted you, and you had a whole other life all this time. So now they're divided, and with head held low, she makes her way back to the big city, only to realize that he and her, both the two big city people, they didn't really love each other anyway. They were just in love with the idea of each other. He really wants to be with somebody else. She makes her way back on Christmas Eve, no doubt, just before the lighting of the perfect Christmas tree in the perfect New England town, and then she meets up with the perfect eligible bachelor. They have the perfect kiss just before the lights come up on the tree. Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim show up, and he's walking on both legs. The credits start to roll, and there is your perfect life. But how many of you know we all live in the real world? How many of you know that real life is messy? Real life has trouble. Real life has, get this, nobody in this room, but real life has some crazy people in it. And so I just want to encourage all of us today to begin to shake off. Why don't we begin to shake off the fear of perception? We're not a Hallmark movie. This is real life. Life gets messy sometimes, and some of the greatest gifts in our lives will come packaged in a mess. Anybody who is doing something, really doing something, will have people talking about them. And those who are not doing anything are usually the ones who are talking about the people who are actually doing something. Another fear that I believe that Joseph struggled with was the fear of provision. Can I afford this? Can I afford this gift? I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about that kind of provision, but the emotional expense and the spiritual expense of taking on this gift from God. Do I have what it takes to maintain this gift? We must be careful when God takes us to a place of blessing that we don't miss that gift because we're wondering whether or not we have what it takes to handle it. It wasn't because Joseph didn't have money. He was going from hotel to hotel. He had money to pay. He wasn't looking for benevolence. You don't aggressively try to get a hotel room if you don't have the money, especially in the season that it was in Bethlehem. But sometimes when we're dealing with God's gifts, we need provisions that money can never buy. There are some things that when dealing with the things of God, it doesn't matter how much money we have, it will never be enough. We can't buy enough stuff to take care of our mental, emotional, and spiritual peace. Joseph had the money, but the ends were all full. The reason the angel could say to Joseph, "Do not be afraid," is because he knew that God had already provided a place for them. God already had provision for Joseph. Can I just remind everybody in this room, he has already provided for you. No matter how bankrupt you may feel today, bankrupt in your spirit, bankrupt in your mind, bankrupt in your family, bankrupt in your checking account, God has already provided. We sang the song today. He is Jehovah Jireh. So when one door closes, that just means that God has another door that he's about to open for us. In retrospect, looking through the rearview mirror, later Joseph was able to say, "Thank you, God, for the closed doors in my life." Sometimes, and maybe some of us here today, we may be saying, "Thank you, God, for the closed doors, the slammed shut doors in my life. Thank you, God, that they didn't let me in." Joseph heard those famous words that have been quoted in every children's Christmas play when the innkeeper walks to the door and says, "There's no more room in the inn." What sounded like a no to Joseph was actually God's way of rerouting him to get him to the place where God had already propped open the door. But he would have never gotten to that place had he not been rerouted by being turned away, by being rejected by every innkeeper in town. That means we need to learn how to thank God for the doors that he has shut and the way that he has made every single time. It's hard to do it in the moment, but we have to learn how to give God thanks, not just in retrospect. God, I thank you that this door didn't. I'm thankful that my plan didn't work out today because I know that you have a greater plan. It feels very worrisome to me today, and I'm full of fear and anxiety and worry today. But God, I thank you because I know that you've ordered my steps. You've gone before me, and you've already made provision. There's another fear that I believe that Joseph dealt with, and that was the fear of providence. The fear of providence. Providence is simply God's protective care. It's his guidance. It's his sovereignty in our lives, his direction, his plan. And I think Joseph had a fear. And his fear in a prayer would simply be, "God, I'll go, but I'll only go if you go with me." He had to have wondered about this new door, this new opportunity that was before him. I'm certain there were moments where he thought, I could do this better if I just knew for sure that you were going to go with me. Isn't that honestly what we struggle with the most? Because this walk is by faith. It's not by facts all the time. It's not by having the roadmap laid out for us perfectly. We take that step of faith because we know that's where God is leading us. And sometimes he's leading us to that way by a closed door. No doubt Joseph was standing in the middle of this world-changing moment in his life. On one hand, wanting to embrace the gift or the word from God and embark on this miraculous journey before him. On the other hand, being overwhelmed by this chaotic packaging that it was coming in. And he's saying, "What do I do with this? It doesn't look or feel like a gift at all." Christmas always looks better in retrospect than it does in the moment, in the reality. In reality, it was rough. Maybe your life today, maybe it looks better when you look back at it than it does when you're going through it. And maybe you're here today, and in this moment, you may be rejoicing about something that you used to cry about. I can tell you I am. There's things today that I give God thanks for. There's things today that I'll dance a jig over, and I'm so thankful for. But in the moment, I was shedding great tears of sorrow because it was the most devastating moment of my life. And now, today, I'm thanking God for it. See, I was trying to trust the packaging instead of trusting the gift. Now maybe you're rejoicing over the very thing that caused tears in the past. It's only when we look back that we realize the thing that we thought was going to kill us was, as the Word tells us, was actually working for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How many of you have been to that 25 and 30 year high school reunion? And you look across the room and you see him or you see her and you say, thank you, Lord, for that rejection. Thank you, Lord, that I was turned down. Thank you, Lord. I start singing the old Garth Brooks song, Sometimes I Thank God. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. See, all rejection is not bad. Just ask the fish that got thrown back in the pond. If we hadn't have been fired, if we hadn't have been rejected, if we hadn't have been abandoned, if we hadn't have been disappointed in that way, we wouldn't have found the way. We would not have found the door that he had made available for us. Now we say, I would never go back and do that again. I would never want to have to go through that place in life again. But God has been so faithful in my life. Just look at what he has done. And there's testimonies all across this room of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And it all came through those gifts that were wrapped in packages that we didn't like. Joseph could have allowed himself just to live in that place of the closed door. Joseph could allow himself to get bitter. Why does this have to happen to us? Life is so unfair. Everybody else got their hotel rooms. Why couldn't we? We need it more than anybody needs it. I'm more of a victim than anybody else is in this community. He could have allowed himself to live there, but no, he just pushed through the closed door, and he went to the next door, and then he turned the corner, and there was that little cave. There was that little stable. What Joseph thought was rejection was actually a door, and there is where Jesus was born. There is where he was placed in a manger, and they were serenaded by angels, and they were illuminated by this heavenly star. That's because God's provision, his gifts, will usually take us away from the normal places. God don't operate a lot in normality and normalcy in our lives. What God is going to bless us with may be outside of our box. And we have to decide whether or not we have the fortitude to be blessed in a way that no one else is being blessed. I love how Dave Ramsey says it when he speaks of the financial stuff. He's talking, teaching financial peace, and he says, now you live like someone else, like no one else, so then you can live like no one else. We have to make the decision today. I may have to walk through some hard roads. I may have to open up some packages I don't like very much, but there is where I'm going to find the purposes and the plan and the gifts of God that are everlasting and will never change and are going to do great things in my life. So now I'll choose to live outside the norm so that then I can live outside the norm in the blessed life that he's called us to, in the life full of purpose that he's called us to. We've got to understand that God may take us outside the system. He may take us outside the status quo. He may take us to a place where we never thought we would ultimately find God. Let me just remind us all today that we don't need to be bothered by the packaging. I'm closing. The angel said, don't be afraid, because that which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. If I could put this in my words, I would say it this way. Joseph, stop worrying about everything and how it's all going to turn out in the natural. Quit, take your mind off of it and trust God. Whatever God starts, he will finish. Joseph, that which is in Mary, this isn't something you started. And since you didn't start it, you can't finish it. Philippians 1:6 says, he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. If God started it, he will complete it. Scripture says that after Mary was taken by Joseph to be his wife, Joseph, he protected her. He loved her. He cared for her. But listen to this. The scripture that we read at the beginning of the message today told us this. He never consummated the marriage. He never knew Mary until after she gave birth to Jesus. When she gave birth to Jesus, she was still a virgin. He walked beside this woman that he loved. He married this woman. They did the proverbial walk down the aisle. He cared for her through this pregnancy, but he never touched her. My point is this. Don't touch things while God's working on them. Don't touch the stuff that God's working on. You may not like how it feels. You may not like what it looks like right now. You may not like the packaging that it's in. But if God started it, it's his job to finish it. We can't go ripping in. We can't go putting our worry and fear and our plans on it. We don't touch things while God's working on them. If God's working on something in our lives, we have to stop trying to do it for him. We have to stop trying to fix it all. It seems like it wouldn't make any difference for Joseph to share intimacy with his wife. I mean, it doesn't seem like this will be a problem at all. Certainly legal. But I believe this was the place where God was teaching him that sometimes in our lives we have to be still. Sometimes in our lives we have to be still and we have to know that he is God. Joseph didn't get involved in what God was working on. Could I just ask you today just to stand with me across this room? Let me say this. God doesn't wait till people reject you to prepare a place for you. Can I just tell you, our God is not a reactive God. He's a proactive God. He's gone before us. God's never, what am I going to do about this? Oh, I got to come up with a plan now. Look at what that person did. Look at how they treated. Now I got to come up with something. No. He already knew ahead of time. He already knew everything that we were going to face. He's already gone before us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us now. But he's already light years ahead of us. He's not reactive. Whatever that thing that you're facing is, he's not called unaware. You are. I am. We're losing our minds over it, but God's not. He's already there. He's already made a way. He's already provided the place. The manger is already in place. God had a manger already there. Joseph just didn't know where it was yet. God had all the right players in the right spot. God was already set up and ready to do the work that he needed to do. God had already worked it all out. And while God was working it out, Joseph just had to get to the place where he said, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Your gifts are perfect. Your gifts are full of purpose. Your gifts have my best interest in my future in heart. That's what your gifts are. God, I trust you. And while man was closing doors, God had already opened all of the perfect doors. And he's doing that for you and for me today. Don't be bothered by the packaging. I'm going to pray. After I pray, I just want to give you an opportunity today. Look, we don't have to do the regular ritualistic thing where you come to the front of a church. You certainly can do that. We'd love to pray for you. That's what we do here. But you don't have to for God to meet you where you are. He'll come to that seat that you're standing in front of right now. And with an open heart, with doors wide open, saying, God, I trust you. I may not understand it all. I may not like the wrapping paper that it's in right now, but God, I trust you, and I know that your gifts are perfect. And so, God, I'm surrendering it all to you right now. I'm surrendering my will. I'm surrendering my way. I'm surrendering my thoughts. I'm surrendering my plans and purpose and vision. I'm surrendering it all to you today, God. Now have your way. Let your perfect, perfect gift, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Let it come, God, and let it do in my life what it needs to do. I may be full of fear in the middle of it, but I know, God, I trust that you're at work and that you're bringing all things together for good. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this moment, God, that we get to share in your word, God. And God, we're thankful, God, for the perfect gifts. We know that every gift you place in our life, it is perfect. And we trust that today, God. We say from our hearts, God, we trust you with our lives. We trust you with our future. And though we may not understand the wrapping paper, we may not understand the packaging today, God, we know that once that gift comes to fruition in our lives, God, it is the perfect, perfect promise. And today, God, we're recipients of your endless grace and mercy. That great and perfect sacrifice that you paid and gave at Calvary, God, to redeem us, to set us free, to be our Savior and our Messiah. Today, God, we're recipients of that. And it all came through a gift. It came packaged in worry and fear and anxiety. But I'm thankful today, God, that we get to walk in that. And even in this day in life that we're living right now, we get to walk in your purpose and your plan. If we'll acknowledge that your gift, it's your gift at work in our lives. We trust you. We trust you, Lord. We're not going to get distracted by the wrapping paper. We're not going to get distracted by the packaging, God. We're going to look to you, the author and the perfecter, the one who began a good work in our lives, is faithful to complete that work, and we trust you with it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.